Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Let's head on out to the BetQL guest hotline. Say good morning to Dave Richard, CBS Sports Fantasy Football expert. Dave Richard is delivered by our friends at Metropolitan Moving and Storage. Fantasy moves? Ask Dave. For all of your other moves, let Metropolitan Moving and Storage do the heavy lifting and take it to the house. You can check him out at dcmetropolitanmoving.com. We'll have Dave on in just a second here.
Nice. Shout out to Metropolitan Moving and Storage. I know my guy Justin had sent me a text last week that they were looking at advertising again. So
well,
Justin and John, really good good guys, local guys.
Very good.
All right, is Dave there? Dave, how are you, buddy?
What's going on, everybody?
What's
how are you?
Dave,
on?
Hope all is well. I'm going to turn the floor over to Matt Valdez. He's in a full-on tizzy slash panic about Marvin Harrison Jr. Go ahead, Matt.
This guy might be the biggest bust I've ever seen at wide receiver. Zero separation, but slow. Kyler's never going to throw him the ball. I'm way overexposed. Help me. Help me, help me, help me.
What are your options?
I'm going to start Zay Flowers and Wandale Robinson over him.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's gross. Look, he even admitted it during the week, Valdez, that he was thinking too much. And if you've been watching football for a while, you can see it sometimes. When someone's doing something new, or at least playing at a level that's new, sometimes they're slow a little bit. They're thinking a little bit. And when they think, they don't look like themselves. There were times late in the game, and this is why I think you don't have anything to worry about. There were times late in the game where he wasn't thinking as much, and you could tell because his separation was better then. And I'm not talking about the play that even I highlighted where he's wide open and he's, you know, the mailbox down the sideline and Kyler didn't see him. But there were other plays where he would actually accelerate past the defensive back. And you got to give a little bit of credit to the matchup against Buffalo as well. I think that in time he will be extremely good. Be patient with him. View him as a number two wide receiver for now. Eventually you'll be happy you've got him on your team, and definitely start him. Listen, if I had told you last week, start Wandale Robinson and sit Marvin Harrison, you would have hung up on my butt so fast. It wouldn't have even – everyone would have wondered what would have happened. Keep going with Marvin Harrison. Play the long game.
I'm not too thrilled by that. He's a mental head case to boot. Not only is he slow, he's a mental head case.
Is that he's a mental head case?
He said that's all you got out of it, that he's a mental head case?
Yeah, kind of. I'm very okay. Concerned. I'm almost hitting the panic button, Dave.
Well, after four quarters, I think it's a little too soon to be too concerned about anybody.
What about Jaden? Let's talk about what an impact he had in the fantasy world, right? Oh my God.
He was great because of the rushing.
Right.
There were throws that he missed, and there were throws that he turned down. And if once he gets better at connecting with Terry McLaurin when he's wide open for a 70-yard touchdown, or seeing Terry McLaurin open for a 53-yard touchdown and then actually throwing to him instead of running for 10 yards, then I think we'll see the absolute best of Jayden Daniels. And we might not be too far away from that. Kind of like Marvin Harrison. It's almost like these guys have never played in an NFL game before. We saw Jayden Daniels kind of panic a little bit. When the pressure got near him, he took off and ran. That was his default in the game. It was not always his default in college, although he did do it a lot. I think that we will see good pass. I think this could be the week where we see good passing from Jayden, because the Giants' secondary is messy. Their pass rush is supposed to be like the greatest strength of their team. And they barely touched Sam Darnold last week. And by nature, the defensive coordinator of the Giants does not like to blitz. So this should be a matchup that does favor Jayden Daniels. I would go right back to Terry McLaurin. I might have McLaurin ranked ahead of Marvin Harrison this week. But both of them are two guys that stunk last week. Expect them to have good numbers this week.
All right, Dave. DJ Moore gave me 10 fantasy points last week. Drake London gave me 3. But Jaden Reed gave me 33. Talk to me. Do I replace any of those guys with Jaden Reed this week, even though Love is not playing?
I think you got to trade for Wandale Robinson, bitch.
That's the move.
Okay, I'm kidding. Listen, the problem with Jaden Reed is that Malik Willis is his quarterback.
Right.
Malik Willis has never thrown for 100 yards in an NFL game. He's never thrown a touchdown pass in an NFL game. And granted, he's only started 3 games. He's only thrown 67 passes. But I don't know if the Packers are miracle workers up there in northern Wisconsin, but they're going to try with him. The nice thing about Jaden Reed is that he's versatile. They can give him the ball on handoffs.
Yep.
He can catch short passes. He can catch deep passes. He can kind of do it all. So maybe there's an opportunity for him to get to like 5 catches, 70 yards.
Mm-hmm.
That might be closer to his ceiling. If he gets really lucky, he gets another touchdown after he had a bunch last week. DJ Moore is going to fall into some good target volume. We know that Romo Dunze's got the knee. I think he's unlikely to play this week. Keenan Allen's banged up. Tough matchup against Houston, but Caleb Williams is going to have to throw to somebody, and I think DJ Moore is going to be the one who sees an uptick in targets. And London isn't the problem. It's Kirk Cousins, and it's Kirk Cousins' offensive line that's the problem. They went up against the Steelers, a fresh Steelers defense. All of their pass rushers were healthy. They were outstanding, and that offensive line looked kind of old, and Kirk looked kind of old. They need to get Kirk moving a little bit more. They need to get some variety in just how they run their passing game, get him under center, get him in motion a little bit. If he can do it, we know that the Achilles is obviously still an issue for him. But the bottom line is that there's nowhere to go but up from here. Slightly easier matchup, I would say, this week for Drake London, but I would view him as a number two wide receiver.
All right.
What did you make of Aaron Rodgers? He looked funny running to me.
Yeah, he was okay. Like, plenty of his throws were good. He just didn't get a lot of attempts.
Yeah.
And, you know, who knew that Alan Lazard was going to be his number one guy and not Garrett Wilson? But close between the two of them. I would worry about starting Rodgers as anything more than, like, a super flex quarterback. Tennessee's got some great corners. I mean, that it's part of their formula, Tennessee's formula, as a defense. They don't have the best pass rush, but they've got good cover corners who can keep cover receivers a little bit longer than your typical NFL cornerback, and that helps the pass rush. That's the theory anyway. And it worked out for them last week. I wonder if it'll work out for them this week against Rodgers. But I don't think I even have Rodgers as like a top 18 quarterback this week. Let's see. I'm looking at my rankings right now. Oh, he's not even top 20. He's 24th for me. I've got Cousins for all the crap I just talked about him. I've got him ahead of Rodgers this week.
Wow. All right, let's get to the MGM National Harbor. Listener lines, 800-636-1067. Got a bunch of people lined up that want to ask Dave questions.
All right, let me make sure I put Dave on lock cakes.
Yep.
As the kids like to say. All right, let's go to David in Sterling. Hey, David, what's up, buddy?
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes, gotcha. Sir. Go ahead, my friend.
Yep, yeah, sorry. I know it's week two. There's no need to panic about Devontae Adams and Chris Olave, correct? That's my first part. And then second, I need one, a PPR, Devontae Smith, Chris Godwin, Kenneth Walker, James Conner.
I believe I have Devontae Smith ranked the highest of the bunch. Connor's probably going to be ranked even higher, but if it's full PPR, Smith against the Falcons, where he won't see a lot of AJ Terrell, not that that matters anymore, I think that would be the one that I would go with. Adams and Olave are fine. They're almost in the same boat as Drake London, where it's nothing that they're doing that's the problem, but it's separate issues. Obviously, Gardner Minshew is not a great quarterback in Las Vegas, and he made plenty of mistakes. I'm kind of pining for Aiden O'Connell to be the quarterback in Las Vegas, and that might be what really helps unlock Devontae Adams. Getting more targets would help a lot as well. As for Olave, the Saints really didn't have to throw. The Panthers did their best to try and take him away. The end result was big game for Rashid Shaheed, who's a great sleeper. Big game for Juwan Johnson. Foster Moreau caught a touchdown. Carr had a magnificent game, but he was off target on 0% of his throws. He was barely pressured in the game. This is going to be a much different game against Dallas. I would imagine that Olave will get more opportunities this week, certainly compared to last week.
All right, let's go to Scott in College Park. Scott, you're on with Dave Richard.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, buddy.
So half point PPR in a flex spot. Do I go Jameson Williams against a decent Tampa defense or Zay Flowers in Vegas, who didn't get much action last week?
I might be getting over my skis a little bit about Jameson Williams, but I love how his game has changed. And we sort of talked about that for those that were paying attention to our podcast, our live shows during the preseason. We talked about how Jameson Williams was running different routes at camp, certainly was a different type of receiver than the one that we saw in the first 2 years of his career. I think that the Lions are going to continue to focus on him. I think they're going to be able to, because if defenses take him away, the underneath is wide open for Amon-Ra St. Brown and Sam Laporta, and I don't think defenses can afford to have that. Should be a high-scoring game against the Bucs this week. I'm going to say Jameson Williams over Zay Flowers. Also, keep in mind, that Raiders team with the bad quarterback and the questionable run defense, which is kind of sad, is going to Baltimore. Mm-hmm. And Derrick Henry is probably looking for a bounce-back game. So are the Ravens trying to get a win on the board. I'd be surprised if this was a big week for Zay Flowers. I would take my chances with Jameson.
And Dave, plus the Bucs, I think, lost three guys from their secondary in the opener against the Commanders.
Three guys from the secondary. Yep. We don't know the status of two of their defensive linemen. One of the guys that they lost from their secondary is Antoine Winfield, their safety.
Yep.
He's their best defensive back, period. So there's definitely there is a big target in that secondary that the Lions can target.
Dave, you told me to play Metcalf over Devontae last week. And
not this week.
Not this week. I'm starting Devontae, correct?
There you go.
Okay.
All right, the speed round has crept up on us.
Wow.
No stammering, stuttering, small talk, or shaky voice allowed. No dumb questions. No Bluetooth or speakerphones are allowed. And don't disrespect Dave's advice. Mm. Those are your rules. I pared it down.
All right, let's go to France. Speed round, go.
Jerome Ford, Tony Pollard, Austin Eckler, full PPR.
Ford.
Fordy.
Let's go to Pastor Jacques. Speed round, go.
Half-point PPR, Rashee Rice or Jordan Mason?
Let's go with Rice as of now.
Mm-hmm. Olivia Chantilly, speed round, go.
Chris Olave or Xavier Worthy?
Olave over Worthy.
Mm.
Colin Fairfax, speed round, go.
Half-point PPR, Alan Lazard, Curtis Samuel, Tyler Lockett.
Gross.
Yeah.
I'll try Lockett.
Oh, Dunze's screwing me.
Yeah, well, sorry about that.
Was that guy in a 16-team league?
And he's looking for, like, his second flex. That's
scary.
Let's go to Heather Dumfries. Speed round, go.
PPR, I need to sit one. London, Neighbors, Waddle, or Rashee Rice?
Sillies.
Hi, Heather. It's London who you're sitting.
Okay, jealous
of that lineup.
Let's go to Jack, Annapolis, speed round, go.
Half point PPR, Tank Dell or Devontae Adams?
I'll take Adams.
Let's go to Jose, calling from Miami, speed round, go.
PPR, need to, Jalen Wright, Devontae Williams, Zamir White, Jalen Wright if Achan doesn't play.
Yeah, I think Adams, and if there is no Achan, Wright would probably be my pick. I am not feeling Zamir White this week at all.
No, what are you hearing on the
not one bit?
What are you hearing on Achan down there?
Yeah, you're plugged in.
That he's going to play.
Yeah,
okay. I think it sounds like he's going to play. He practiced on Wednesday, and he looked like fluid in practice. He didn't seem limited. I would just think that his workload will be limited against Buffalo.
DeAndre Swift, Zach Moss.
Oh, I think I've got Moss ranked higher.
Okay. And let's go to Tim. Tim, speed round, go.
Isaiah.
That's a shame.
He almost had a perfect sleep.
You should have seen he grinned.
Poor
as
Tim.
Soon as he said it, I caught you.
I felt bad. We were about to a perfect
hey, we need to be more.
There.
Also, we need to be more vigilant with Bluetooth.
Okay.
I mean, we're letting a lot of Bluetooth slide.
I'm not noticing it as quickly as you do.
I got the ear for it.
Then you should be hanging up. Right? Maybe it's on you, not me.
He needs to clean out his ear. Nobody was on Bluetooth there.
There were two on Bluetooth.
No, there wasn't.
Yeah, there were two.
I didn't hear it, but...
You know who you are out there.
I defer to you, but I have to tell the listeners, he grinned as soon as you said,
He loves to hang up
so
on people.
Happy to
he
hang
likes
up
to
on
dump
you.
People. He likes it. He loves
Dave,
it.
Thank you.
Lee's is on one today.
Yeah. I know.
He's upset about Marvin Harrison Jr. It's clouding everything. You can't help
really?
Himself.
I got bamboozled.
Dave, thanks as always, man. We'll talk to you again next week. May all of your teams get dubs in week two.
I need some dubs.
Yeah, we all could use those dubs. Enjoy the week, everybody.
All right, thank you, pal.
Dave. You too, my friend. Don't forget, coming up a bit later, we will talk more NFL with Merrill Hodge. He will join the show coming up at 9:20 right here on The Fan. Welcome back to The Junks, brought to you by Crop Metcalf. Don't forget, Merrill Hodge will join us in just about an hour. It's coming up at 9:20.
Cakes, you don't know what this is.
Let's see. It looks like a ledger book. Is somebody sending that to us to replace the bet book?
Thank you to Anthony Salazzo.
Mm.
Hopefully I'm pronouncing his name right. But he goes, here is a proper bet book.
Cakes.
Well, I mean, what?
I got it.
Why is it proper?
Why? We're going to sell the bet
book. Well, because that bet book is falling apart.
JP, this is all this
we're
going
to put this in a Radio Music Hall of Fame.
This is history. This is a piece of history that you want to just trade in for something that a listener got at like a goofball stationery store. I mean, this has character. This right here.
I know. What if we sell it? Let's put it on eBay.
This is, it's a nice gesture, but I have no regard.
Do you see what that bet book says?
I have zero regard
for that book. I bought
zero regard.
That's so mean. I was appreciative of Anthony.
That was very nice. But
that bet book I bought at CVS in 2017.
Yeah, it says 2017.
It's falling apart.
Can't we sell it?
Why do you want to sell everything?
Why not?
Who's going to buy that?
I don't know.
What are we going to get, $20
for? There's a radio show history right there.
Do you really need $6?
No, I think we could get $1,000 for that thing.
No chance.
I don't think this is going to fetch $1,000.
Come on.
Those are all our bets? They're iconic.
You think that's $1,000?
No. It doesn't have all our bets because it's a lot of times...
It's worth one penny, but it's all the bets that are in there.
This book
it's not
still
all of them because once they're done, a lot of times the pages are ripped
out. Look at all the pages that are unfilled in this bet book. I mean, look at this.
All right.
This thing's going to last in perpetuity.
I'm out on the bet.
Cakes is known as a nice junkie. Guy sends us a gift and throws it away. He's not the nicest junkie.
He did it for a bit.
I never claimed to be the nicest person in this room.
He did it on
for
camera.
That's probably like a listener thing. and I did do part of it for the bit.
Yes.
I mean, it's part of a bit. But yeah, I have no regard for that. The bets stay in this book, my friend. That's the way
they were in your head. Remember when Cake said they were in his head that he couldn't remember the bets?
Some of them are there.
So I wanted to play a couple clips of since the Commanders are facing the Giants. Didn't get to this in the Junkies Blitz, but obviously there's a lot of scrutiny on Daniel Jones's play.
Mm-hmm.
Cake brought up the stat that ever since he signed the contract, he actually has more touchdowns to the other team than his own team. That is not a good statistic.
Oh, my God. It was like 2-4 or something, right? It was only a few games.
Okay, but he's got 3 pick sixes with only two touchdown passes.
Are you getting in what is that, the last 8? How many games is that?
Something like
it was
that.
Just a couple games. I mean, that's not really fair. I mean, it's an interesting anecdote, but it's not like some sort of definitive, like that's what he does.
But I think it's 2 touchdowns, 8 interceptions,
after
3 of
games?
Them pick sixes. Think about that, EB. Yeah. Any stretch of games, he's got 8 interceptions, 3 of them to the other team with only 2 touchdowns.
In his last 8 NFL games, here are Daniel Jones' stats.
Yeah.
He's thrown 2 picks. I mean, thrown 2 touchdowns against 9 interceptions.
Oh, it's 9 interceptions.
3 pick sixes and 5 fumbles.
That's atrocious.
He's a horrible NFL quarterback.
That's a horrible stretch.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's really bad.
I'm not saying it's not a horrible stretch.
Hopefully he doesn't have a get-right game against the Commanders this weekend. That would be borderline tragic.
So here's what Brian Daboll said after week 1's performance.
Do you see a quarterback who's playing with confidence?
Yeah, we've played 1 game, so no one did good enough that first game. So again, team sport. And we'll work on fixing it.
Oh, he's grumpy.
Oh,
man.
I would love to
he totally doesn't believe what he's saying.
I would love to juxtapose that clip with the clips that we've obviously all seen of him in Hard Knocks, where he's just pining for Jaden Daniels or any other quarterback to replace Daniel Jones. Joe Shane trying to deal with the Patriots to move up so that they could select the quarterback to replace Daniel Jones.
I don't remember if this scene was in the actual Hard Knocks, but I saw a clip that I believe HBO Max or Max put out.
Yep.
And it was the family chiming in on who they thought should be selected. Did you happen to see that?
I saw a clip of his son basically saying, why are you getting rid of Saquon Barkley? Like, Dad, you're basically an idiot. What are we doing here?
Shane seemed to be taking like the family poll of who they should take. And his daughter wanted J.J. McCarthy because he's good looking.
Right.
And his son was all about Jaden Daniels. Mm-hmm. And if not Jaden Daniels, Drake May.
Right.
Where was Daboll? I can't remember. Like, what was his position on the Saquon thing? He could take him or leave him, or he was because certainly the owner, Mara, was lobbying.
I don't remember him ever really
vociferous
about
it.
Yeah, he did not like the idea of letting him go.
I don't recall seeing a lot of Daboll chiming in on Barkley.
At least
I don't recall
either.
On the TV show.
I'd imagine he'd want all talented players.
Right. You would think.
But even if they had Barkley, they'd still be a bad football team because you need a bona fide quarterback.
Totally agree.
So maybe they'd be better, slightly better, but they're not a playoff team even if they kept Barkley.
Right.
So that reporter asked Dable about Daniel Jones and his confidence. Here's what Daniel Jones himself says.
How do you work on that mental toughness?
I feel like I've been doubted plenty for a long time and dealt with that time and time again and done a good job with it. So I think my mental toughness is in a good spot and I'm not concerned about that.
Maybe he should be concerned.
I think he probably is.
He's just not going to tell the media that.
He's putting up a brave face.
I mean,
he doesn't play like he's not concerned. He doesn't play with confidence.
Right. I don't know.
At least he's still in the league. I saw something about Josh Rosen yesterday.
Yeah.
Josh Rosen, who was drafted very high, I think number 10, maybe.
Something like that.
Got displaced by Kyler Murray at first, then kind of bounced around the league. He's still in his 20s.
Mm-hmm.
He's at the Wharton School of Business now. He's just punted.
Yeah, moving on.
You know what? Smart life decision by him.
He's 27.
He's preparing how much money for life did he make? After football.
How much money did he actually?
Josh Rosen.
$20 million, you think?
I don't know. If
that might be too high.
That might be a little aggressive. Maybe.
10? Maybe 10?
Well, he was the 10th pick, so he probably got decent money.
Probably got
I'm sure he got decent
contract.
Money.
I would be surprised if he was.
$18.7 million.
Oh, so
career
close.
Earnings.
I was close.
Yeah, you were. I would have guessed less.
Go to the business school, figure out how to handle your money.
The thing I can't understand is how can Daniel Jones have been so successful against us and then just be so brutal, essentially, against everyone else?
Like, I think that says more about
he played against a bunch of bad Washington teams.
Yeah,
I know, but not everybody does. Like, he, like, consistently,
I don't know.
I don't have an explanation for it. To be fair, he had Barkley, too.
Right.
And Barkley had some huge games. In some of those games that Jones played well.
Yeah, but Barkley was also I always think of Barkley as a hit or miss guy. Like he's either on or he's a 30 yards.
He's more of a hit.
He was hitting against the Packers. I know that.
Yeah.
But to EB's point, it is ridiculous. I mean, punch up his career stats, and then if you subtract what he's done against Washington, they're going to be even worse because against Washington, first of all, his record, and I know Cake says he doesn't believe in wins except for when. It's Patrick Mahomes. Daniel Jones is 5-1-1 against Washington.
Correct.
He completes 70% of his passes against Washington.
Yeah.
In seven games, he has 1,510 yards, so it's slightly over 200 a game. But the big thing is 10 touchdowns to just 3 picks.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had success running the football against him, too.
This has got to be our get-right game. This has to be.
Daniel Jones has, and again, these are wins. He has 5 career wins against Washington.
Yeah.
He doesn't have more than 2 career wins against any other team in the league.
Right.
So he's more than doubled his win total against the Commanders.
We're largely responsible for that big contract he signed, probably.
Yeah.
Because when he plays us, he looks like a building block. He looks like somebody you can build around.
The Giants.
That's why my perception of him is so jaded.
The Giants are 15 games under 500 when he starts.
Were all those starts against a Ron-led team? They probably are.
No, not in 19.
Okay. Oh, sorry, 20. He missed the season with the injury or whatever.
He's got a 10-3 touchdown to pick ratio in his career against the Commanders / football team.
Right.
Well, and that was his best year, his rookie year. I mean, threw picks, but
who was it that said, was it Thibodeau or somebody that said he doesn't consider the Skins rivals?
Yeah, Kayvon Thibodeau, their defensive end, who had 11.5 sacks last year.
Here it is.
You had a lot of success against them in your first 2 years.
Yeah.
What makes this team UCLA call this kind of elevate you?
I would say Washington in particular, you know, they're not really a rival, but they're what would you call it, in-conference? Yeah, in-conference. In our same division, there we go. They're in our division, so it's always a great game. You know, we see them twice a year, so I'm excited. Jaden Daniels is a great quarterback. He's from Cali, you know, grew up knowing him, grew up with him, so I understand, you know, he's a great player, and I'm excited to go against him.
He's, by the way, Thibodeau is the Daniel Jones of the defense for the Giants, because he has 5.5 sacks in 4 career games against the Commanders. Right, he hasn't done that against anybody else.
The Giants just step it up. That's the one thing that kind of concerns me about this particular game. I think Washington wins, but Thibodeau and Burns, they were non-existent last week, right. Pretty much. Right. I mean, they didn't get to Darnold, and I think that they could cause some problems. But Daniels can run, unlike the quarterbacks of the past of Washington. So I think that would concern me that their guys can get to Daniels a little quicker.
So,
but I don't have any confidence.
You got Lawrence in the middle anchoring. You got Lawrence. That
I just don't have any confidence that Daniel Jones is going to completely turn around his game.
Right.
I don't know if the other Giants agree with Thibodeau, but I think I could speak for most Skins fans. We definitely consider the Giants a rival. We definitely consider Philly a rival. We definitely consider Dallas a rival.
Certainly.
I don't know what he's smoking.
But I think his approach might be, well, we consider the Eagles and Cowboys much bigger rivals than the Commanders. I think the Eagles tend to consider the Cowboys and the Giants bigger rivals than the Commanders.
He doesn't want to be associated with the Commanders, it sounds like.
Right.
Like, don't even put our team's name in the same sentence as the Commanders.
Right, separate himself.
If you ask Dable, were you one of his rivals, I think he would say yes. If you ask John Mara, right. He would say yes.
Right.
I don't see how you
could. I think what's unfortunate is over the years that the rivalries between these teams, nobody has sees the Commanders as their rivals.
Has been eroded over the last 30
they
years.
They pick it's Eagles-Cowboys now, mm-hmm. or Giants-Eagles. Those are the teams that those fans consider their rivals.
Maybe the fans. Jerry Jones definitely considers us a rival.
I know. You're doing like we're in the division, so everyone's rival. But I'm talking about the main rival.
We play them twice a year, yeah.
I know,
well, it's because the Commanders Cowboys also Reds been a joke. That's really what it comes down to.
I know, but Bears-Packers, it doesn't matter how many losing seasons in a row the Bears have. They will always be rivals with the Packers.
I think the same thing with the Cowboys-Skins. I really do. I've never said, oh, it's not a rivalry because they just smoke us all the time.
I know. We like it. They don't feel care. The same That's way. What sucks. They don't care.
If you went to a Cowboys fan right now and said, who's your biggest rival, the most important rival, they would list the Eagles, then probably the Giants, and the Commanders third.
That's fine. I got no problem with that. But we're still a rival. We're still
They might say the Niners over the Commanders.
They might even put 49ers over.
They're going to say some other teams outside the division, I bet.
All right.
But, hey, don't get defensive over this.
I mean, I'm defensive.
Hey, Richie.
They're my rivals.
Don't get defensive.
No, EB, you should be defensive over this. This is a big sign of disrespect. If I was a Commanders player, they got to be playing this audio opening play. Let Kayvon Thibodeau, whatever the hell his name is, let him run deep and let someone ear hole him. That's a big sign of disrespect.
Yeah, let him get too much upfield and Jaden runs right by him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I hope to see. I hope that he's just scooting right by those defensive ends.
I mean, any fan that says that the Skins aren't a rival of the Cowboys, they're just being disingenuous. They may not worry about beating us because they've had the upper hand. But come on. I think it's no different than the Lions, Packers, or Lions, Bears. And there were many years where the Lions were dreadful.
Are you buying in, as a Commanders fan, what Kayvon Thibodeau is trying to sell, that the Commanders are not a true rival to the Giants who are coming in to Northwest Stadium, EB, get used to the ring of that, this weekend for the home opener? 800-636-1067. We'll take your calls on that next on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines here on The Fan. So we're discussing Kayvon Thibodeau's statements yesterday, talking about the Commanders not being a rival of the New York Giants. Giants coming in to play the Commanders this weekend in week two. Are the Commanders rivals to the Giants? And if you're a fan of an opposing team, if you're a Cowboys fan or Giants, Eagles fan, whatever, do you consider the Commanders a rival to your team? You can call us at 800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. See where the Commanders rank in that rivalry status.
See where the fans think about it.
And we just put it up as the Junkies poll of the day, presented by Scotty's Vodka, Maryland made, super smooth. Loved throughout the DMV. After 1 minute voting, 74% say yes. Mm.
Scotty's cocktail tonight during Bills Dolphins might be good.
All right.
Might have to do that.
Let's go to JC in DC. Going to have some annoying fans calling in now.
Here we go.
All right, let's go, JC. What you got?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Happy Thursday.
Yeah.
So, essentially, I think the issue is that when the Skins and the Cowboys play, it's usually at week 16, 15, where it doesn't even matter. So, it's like, okay, for the past 5-6 years, Skins haven't worried about anything. The Cowboys, let's play, the B squad. so there isn't really
a...
That's
for one of two, but what about when we smoke you on Thanksgiving?
Exactly. But how long ago was that? Like, what, 4 or 5 years ago?
I remember it once. It was RG.
It definitely happened when RG3 was here. There might have been one other in between then and now, but I can't quite remember.
Exactly. You know, with the RG3 season, I was worried because I was like, oh, my God, now it will be a rivalry.
Right.
But, you know, when I was in New York, you know, and I would ask Giants fans, hey, you know, we're playing the Skins this week. You know, why are you excited? What's going on? Nah, we don't care about that. Our rival are the Cowboys. And I'm like, oh, okay. I think it's because of the big market New York versus big market Texas. You know, and I consider our rival the Eagles because as of late we've been playing for things that matter instead of a draft pick. Yeah.
I'm not saying that we're Dallas's biggest rival at the moment. I'm not saying. But we're a freaking rival of the Dallas Cowboys. We're a lifelong
division
rival.
Division opponent.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
That builds a rivalry over time.
We've had iconic matchups.
But I do think that the rivalry has diminished over the last 25 to 30 years.
I guess to an extent.
Because Washington has been in the basement for the majority of that time.
Exactly.
That hurts.
And
it hurts the rivalry.
Exactly. And
if it becomes one-sided.
When they come to Washington, half of the fans are from their team.
That is correct.
So they're not looking at it as this great rival where the fans, you know, have some intimidating force and it's home field advantage for Washington.
No.
They're just looking at it as another game.
No, they look at it as we're gonna invade their stadium and make it a Cowboys home game.
That's
the approach.
I think that's the problem. That Commanders fans may think of it more of as a rivalry than Cowboys fans.
Right.
Though. Just like Ravens and Browns. We took the Browns team.
Right.
And the Browns are all up in arms about it, but they're a pimple on our ass.
Sure. Because you guys consider the Steelers
a much bigger rival
than the stupid Browns.
I feel
Browns.
Like that's the same thing that's going on between Commanders and Cowboys.
Similar. Very similar.
Let's go to Eric, Solomon's Island. Eric, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, guys?
Hey.
Look, so basically exactly what you guys were just saying. I mean, this has been one-sided for, you know, at least the Ron era. I mean, you know, each year we play them, you know, whether it's the Giants, whether it's the Eagles or the Cowboys, and it feels like, you know, it's our rival because we're trying to get on top, and they're always sweeping us, you know? Now, I know they haven't – but all three of those teams haven't swept us each year, but that's what it's felt like, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to go back and look and see the record, the head-to-head record in the last 25 to 30 years, but I'm guessing it's probably pretty lopsided.
It's
Dallas
probably not
favor.
Pretty.
I don't think that matters, though. The Lions have always been a rival of, say, the Packers or whatever, and they would get smoked for decades.
I think it matters if there's a three-decade-long basically dry spell on one side of a rivalry. I think it diminishes it.
I'm not going to say it's the top rivalry, but I think it's a rivalry. Derek, what's up?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
First and foremost, I just wanted to say that Kayvon Thibodeau is an absolute idiot. He's looking like a bum right now. He needs to wait to be able to... Cowboys fan, I think our biggest rival right now is the Eagles, but I think, you know, the Redskins and Giants will always be a rival. I think anybody in your same conference will be considered a rival because you play them twice a year. Like you mentioned, it might diminish over time based off a skill set, but that doesn't ever go away. You know, those guys hate each other in their conference. Some of them won't even sign with the same team in their conference because they're such rivals. So it's always going to be smash-mouth football, but, yeah, they're definitely rivals, and it won't ever change. Thank you, guys.
All right, thanks, buddy.
Thanks for the call.
That's from a Cowboys fan.
800-636-1067. Where do the Commanders rank as far as rivalries, especially with their NFC East brethren, the Eagles, the Cowboys, and the Giants?
I would actually say, if you asked me, our biggest rival right now, I think, is the Cowboys or is the Giants. I think it's the Giants. Maybe just because we have the best shot against them.
I might say the Giants too, just because the Daniel Jones having the Commanders' number is just a weird thing that's happened.
And I feel like it's the Giants.
And your boy Tommy DeVito.
Tommy DeVito beats the Commanders. I mean, there's been some weirdness to the rivalry over the last few
like
years.
I feel like Philly, they always have the edge. Dallas kind of always has the edge. They're definitely still rivals, but the one I feel like
wasn't
the most equal has been the Giants.
Wasn't Mara the guy that basically
beating us.
That basically had the NFL enforce like the salary cap bit when Shanahan was here.
Was it the Maris?
I think it was real bad blood between the two franchises.
Right.
And I think that still kind of lingers.
All right, let's go to Jim in Tysons. Jim, what's up?
Hey, guys. Love your show.
Thanks, you, man. Jim.
I think it's a combination of two things from the rivalry. I think it's in terms of which team has the players that you can hate the most, and also are you winning? And when I think about the Cowboys over the years, I think about Romo and Michael Irvin, and I know I go back, Staubach. I mean, the bottom line is for the quarterbacks, and Troy Aikman, you wanted our defensive linemen to take them out, actually get them out of the game, and because we kind of didn't like the players. So as Washington fans, we got all excited about rooting against them and also the Eagles. I think the other teams look at us and they can't figure out a player, especially today, they can't figure out a player to hate on our team. There isn't one person that any Dallas fan's like, oh, yeah, we got to really step up for Washington because we really don't like, you know, Terry McLaurin. I mean, so honestly, I think it's a function of are there people for Washington fans to really get energized to dislike, and for them, the teams in our division, they really don't see any excitement when they look at our team.
All right. It might be fair. I mean, I'm not saying I see. Well, they're going to see excitement from here on out.
You would think.
They're going to see excitement at that quarterback position.
As long as Gaines is on the field.
Yeah. Maybe this will help the rivalry.
Maybe put the paddles to it.
What are you looking, I like that theory. What are you looking at, Valdez? You just think there's no rivalry, that we're just
No. Drab's made a great point to me. Okay. He said Thibodeau is basically doing what Eric does.
Mm.
They're the Commanders.
Right.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
He's saying they're the Commanders. Don't ever put us in the same breath.
Right.
They're the Commanders.
Well, right, but I don't think I do that about our division rivals.
You know what he should do? Kayvon Thibodeau should pull up something called NFL standings over the last 10 to 15 years. And look at what the Giants have done. Okay, they're in the same neighborhood as the Commanders in the last 10 to 15 years. Whether he wants to admit it or not.
I still think
they've been abysmal.
If you ask Giants fans.
They have, but head-to-head, they've dominated them.
Understood.
I still think Giants fans would consider us a rival. Not the top rival, but a rival.
Well, how do your boys feel up there?
Well, they're just full of shtick. So they'll say no. Especially
Kayvon Thibodeau's acting like the Giants are living in a waterfront mansion, and then the Commanders are like a trailer home. They're in the same neighborhood. I have a bulletin for him.
I just did the numbers.
Yeah.
Since 2010.
Yeah.
All right.
Those three teams in the division are 54-20-1 against Washington.
Right. I mean, that's pretty damning.
Basically winning 3 out of 4 games.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
That is very lopsided. Look at you doing research on the fly.
I think I did that right.
All right, let's real quick go to George and Bowie. George, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, fellas? I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thanks, man.
I think the rivalry, history-wise, yeah, we're rivals with everyone in the division.
Right.
The present day, we're not even could say we are kind of laughable. Even when the Eagles was down back in the days, it was a hard out. Like, we're not even a hard out anymore. We don't play no teams tough. You know, we want to get up for Dallas, but we get blown out 55-0. So, like, I can understand why the other teams in the division and their fans don't consider us a rivalry, because we're not competing on as high level as they are. We're always at the bottom of the division. You know, we letting Tony DeVito beat us, unknown quarterbacks beat us. And if it was the other way around, I would look at the team as not a rivalry either. So we got to start winning again, and we got to start actually kicking and dominating to be considered a rivalry again. But right now, we're just kind of laughable.
What do you expect? George, what do you expect to happen this weekend?
Well, I want us to beat the Giants. We need to beat the Giants. Like Lurch said yesterday, this is a must-win game because we've lost like 6 straight against the Giants, so we need something to build off of to be considered a rivalry. So if we go out there and beat the Giants again and beat them again later on in the season, yeah, we could start talking that talk. But until then, we can't say nothing.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for the
call. Thanks, George.
Hey, for me to get to the 10 wins I predicted, I need a sweep of the Giants. Like, that is
a must.
Yeah,
you do. It's a must win. Starts Sunday.
Oh, and send this stat to Thibodeau. The Commanders have four more wins in the last decade against his terrible New York Giants. Thank you very much.
So hold on. So what is our...
The Commanders have won four more games in the last decade.
You mean total?
Total.
Yeah, not against...
Not against...
Not head-to-head.
Not head-to-head.
Okay, I'm not doing the head-to-head. I'm talking...
What are the records of both teams?
Abysmal. I don't have that.
Oh, okay. You said the four more.
Commanders have 64 wins in the last 10 years. Giants have 60.
Right. They both suck.
But we're like 64 and like 90 or something.
It's like 64 and 102 is the Commanders.
They're both terrible. Those are your records. All right, we come back. We'll do EB's entertainment page, and we'll also be joined by Merrill Hodge at 9:20. We'll talk more NFL with him.